Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Welcome. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health. And just to give you new information, new update, you can always email us if you have any questions or you have suggestions, or maybe suggestions for a radio show.
A clever joke to share with us. Something.
A topic, or how well we're doing or how bad we're doing. You can email us at wellnessradio, all together, with no spaces, wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us. Again, that's wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us.
We've finally been entrusted with an email.
Yes. And also, you can always call us at area code 760-337-8874. And you can also give us suggestions, topic suggestions, or if you have comments about the show.
We are your community voice for wellness.
Yes, we are. But for Imperial and Mexicali Valleys.
That's right. Welcome aboard. Hey, we're in our third week of the series on June. Yes, third. Because yes. Mike and Benny were here 2 weeks ago. So, third week, in our series on juvenile hall, and we've kind of reviewed about how important it is because these kids end up, you know, A, getting into all sorts of trouble, and kind of really damaging their own lives, but B, they kind of impact our community, and then C, they cost taxpayers a bundle. And so we're here talking about, you know, how we kind of begin to reconfigure this and make it work and really try to be effective spending those taxpayer dollars.
Yes.
Serving this community need, because clearly, you know, when you've got young people not graduating from high school, going into juvenile hall, ending up in state prison system stuff, those are the kind of things you really want to try and prevent. So we're joined today by Anna Contreras. She's a program supervisor for how long have you been program supervisor, Anna? Welcome.
Hello. Actually, I've been working for behavioral health for close to 16 years. And I
wow.
Believe, yes. Big wow.
She was right out of high school.
I was going to say elementary, but I guess high school's fine.
I've been actually working as a supervisor for approximately 6 years.
You've been the juvenile hall person since forever, huh?
Correct. I've been about approximately 3 years there. 3 to 4 years we've been actually providing mental health services, an array of services out at juvenile hall.
Now, we heard a little bit about the story last week, but let's kind of go back. Evidently, juvenile hall has people with mental health problems.
Correct.
And marching them down to our crisis department in orange uniforms and shackles wasn't the coolest way to deal with it.
Correct. Yes.
So
what we have now is that we have our crisis unit and mental health services program, which is called Juvenile Hall Services. We have them assigned out to Juvenile Hall. We have our after hours, anytime after 5 o'clock that we receive a crisis call. Rather than having them come to the crisis desk, we have a clinician on call that goes out and responds to crisis calls out at Juvenile Hall. Then we also have our regular 8 to 5 mental health services provided out at Juvenile Hall. For those just ongoing they're in need of talking to a counselor or just to go out and follow up with those youth that are receiving services out in the community, and for one reason or another, they ended up being in custody. We follow up with those youth. Hmm.
Dr. Ibrahim, yeah, last week on the show kind of pointed out that juvenile hall is like a magnet. It's like people with mental health disorders tend to end up in juvenile hall at a higher percentage, I guess, than the regular population, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And that's why the juvenile hall program started providing services at juvenile hall.
So it's kind of a way to take advantage and start getting mental health needs met.
Correct. Yeah, it's great because you can identify them right there at juvenile hall. These are kids that probably it's their first time at juvenile hall. It could be their second or third or fourth time at juvenile hall. But before juvenile hall services were being provided mental health services at juvenile hall, they would have been released out in the community without any follow-up, without them being identified having mental health issues.
It also, this ensures that there's continuum of care. So there aren't any gaps or any basically missing links. So once you get incarcerated, I review the juvenile hall roster and ensure anybody that's already receiving services out at behavioral health that we provide them with the same services in the hall.
So you look at all the names of all the kids that are there.
Correct.
And see if anybody there may be having unmet services who's already currently in the system, right?
Correct. Whether it's that they missed an appointment or they're pending a psychiatric evaluation. So we follow up
with for existing customers, and there are some.
Correct.
Then
we have a way of say it, existing customers.
Yeah, there's existing ones and new ones, right? And
correct. So we basically service those that are receiving services out in the community with their physician. We also provide services for those that are active in behavioral health services and those that are coming back from placement. We also provide services for those that are actually very few, though, but we have had illegal youth that have been at the hall that require mental health services.
Now, is some of what you do identifying new customers also?
Yes.
How does that work?
Within the first 24 to 48 hours, juvenile hall conducts an assessment, which is called MACE. And based on that, they rate them, and if they score high, whether it's any mental health impairment or any possible suicide or homicide, we proceed in sending a clinician out there.
So basically a screening tool.
Correct. Uh-huh, it's a screening tool, yes.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 Radio. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.